Returning to the worship of God this evening, in the words of the priest Zacharias, who prophesied, the father of John the Baptist, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life." Let us sing to the praise of our God, who has fulfilled his promises. And we turn this evening first to Psalm 96. And we take version B, the verses we have on page 127, verses marked 1 to 6. Psalm 96, page 127. "Sing to the Lord, sing praise in a new song. Sing to him, all who to the earth belong. Sing to the Lord and praise his holy name. From day to day his saving work proclaim. His glory to the nations now declare. His mighty deeds to people everywhere." We'll sing verses 1 to 6, these two stanzas on page 127. Let's stand to sing together.
Sing to the Lord, sing praise in a new song. Sing to him, all who to the earth belong. Sing to the Lord and praise his holy name. From day to day his saving work proclaim. His glory to the nations now declare. His mighty deeds to people everywhere. Great is the Lord, most worthy of all praise. Above all gods is to be feared always. For all the nations, gods are of the world.
In your majestic splendor, almighty and merciful Father, we come to confess that we have sinned and strayed from your ways. We are as those lost sheep that each goes to his own way, following the inclinations, the desires of our own hearts, offending against your holy laws. And deep within, sin has a hold of us. Eternal and blessed God, who does not desire the death of a sinner, but that he may turn from his wickedness and live, we give thanks for your word's declaration of remission and forgiveness of sins, and we plead your pardon to all who truly repent and believe the holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We acknowledge our dependence on our divine Redeemer, your promised Savior, your true servant, the one who is eternally faithful and true, your own beloved Son, who came to take our sins upon himself and to bear our chastisement, that we might be found righteous in your sight, in him, to be declared just through faith in him alone. We pray, O Lord, that you will grant us that true repentance and your Holy Spirit, that for his sake our lives now will please you, that the rest of our lives will be pure and holy, even as you are holy, and that at last we may enter your eternal joy through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, will you receive us in worship before you? We are not worthy in our own right, unless you look on us in your Son. And so in him we ask your mercy. Amen. Please be seated. I would invite you now to join with me in reading together in Psalm 96 in the Bible, prose, poetic version, not metrical, but Psalm 96 in the Church Bible. You'll find it on page 532. And as we have done on some occasions, that we might read together, and for simplicity, that we alternate verses, that I would read the odd-numbered verses, and ask you to respond by reading each second verse. Psalm 96, let us read together. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day.
Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples.
The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods.
For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens.
Honor and majesty.
Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples, give to the Lord glory and strength.
Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts.
O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth.
Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall be
Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and all its fullness.
Let the field be joyful, and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice
for you. For he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the peoples with his truth. Amen. May God bless his word as we read it together. And I would turn to take a little while looking at this psalm this evening. Psalm 96, as we have read. If someone, a friend, tells you they have seen something wonderful, and they tell you where to see it, and you look the wrong way, you won't see it. And so it is with our lives, that very often we will be looking in the wrong direction. You might look to other people to help you, and even, perhaps especially, those closest to you, you will realize that they are so weak, they're fumbling, and little help, perhaps. And if you look within yourself, you'll see it all the more, won't you? It's just as well, therefore, that we have Sundays and that we have the Bible, and we open the Bible when we come together on Sundays, and we have in the Bible such passages as this. And indeed, that is what the Bible is all about, is to say, don't look at yourself, don't look at other people for your help, look at God. And Psalm 96 says, look on God. Look on the Lord. Look on who he is. Look on what he does. And make your response to him. The psalm leads us to look that direction. And this psalm tells us that when we look at God, we must first of all, its emphasis is to sing God's praises. And then also to tell it like it is about God. And these are the two splits we might give, two headings in the structure of the psalm. And the first six verses, we're really taking that theme of singing. And then in verses 7 and following, as we have it in this version, give or ascribe to the Lord. And so first then, to see what the psalm says about singing. Three times to emphasize this great call to sing to the Lord. You see it there, just as you, if you have the red Bible, open it and it looks at you. You have these very words, sing to the Lord, and they're piled top one on top of the other. But it is particularly this singing a new song. When God did in Old Testament Israel, when God did a new thing, the people sang a new song. The most, perhaps the best known would be when the people were delivered across the Red Sea with Moses, and they sang the song of Exodus 15. This psalm was perhaps sung when David brought the ark into Jerusalem, a new thing, a token of God's blessing upon the people. And then towards the end of Scripture in Revelation, in chapter 14, we read of those who are around the throne singing a new song. What is the new song? I have said it before when we've been singing the Psalms, the great privilege that we have to sing them in church. That when there is this call to sing a new song, it is commonly associated with salvation. We have the three times repeated, sing to the Lord a song. And then the next direction that we have in the middle of verse 2 is to proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Much as we would say, we wake up in the morning and it's a new day with new opportunities before us. From day to day, every day that we walk in God's salvation is a day for singing a new song, according to this psalm. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. His grace, we learn. When we learn of Jesus, it's grace upon grace. It's grace after grace. It's grace coming in place of grace. Almost old grace. It was grace that was given to us for the needs of a moment. And then the next moment comes and the next day comes and we need grace fitting for that. And so it is with God's saving work day after day and the response of this new song. And it is a command, it's a call to sing to the Lord. We're a little congregation. But there are times when I'm immensely thankful that the engagement in the singing that you don't always get in other places. We might not all sing in tune, we might not always have the most mellifluous voices, but let's give God the glory by singing this song of his salvation, that it comes out of our hearts. And we are to sing about what he does, that saving work from verse 2, and his wonders among all the peoples in verse 3. Sing about these things. But how can you sing about them unless you see them? How can you sing about them unless you are directed to see them, unless they're called to your attention, which is what the Psalms do? That's the beauty of the Psalms. They're pointing us always beyond ourselves to the Lord our God. And they are true. And they remind us to sing of him, of what he has done and what he does, his wonders. We are to sing as well about who he is, from verse 4 through to verse 6, verses 4 and 5 especially. It tells, reminds us of who he is. He is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods. And there is a sense where the words that we have with a small g here, some commentator put it, he said, they're godlings. They're just they're little imitations running about, if you like, but they don't even manage to do that because they're made by men. But this, our Lord, is not such a God. He is great, and he is the one who made the heavens. He is the one who stands in majesty. We are to sing about what he does. We are to sing about who he is. We're to sing about his saving work. We're to sing, and I think the sense of the early lines that we have, that singing a new song is especially in this kind of gathering where God's people gather together, or those who have some interest and are I trust, seeking to know him. It's here especially that we are to be cultivating this singing spirit. And out of that, we're then enabled to declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all the peoples. It's to go forth there as well. And that's not always an easy thing, least of all to sing it. But yet I'm always struck by the way that in a football stadium you have two completely opposing sides. They have no interest in the success of the other. And then you have the supporters, and there are supporters on both sides, and supporters on either side are quite happy to sing their songs, with the opposition singing their songs against them. Will we sing in the open, in public? Not easy. Even less easy when we forget such words as these, and we forget the great God who is brought before us once more. And so that is what the psalm then goes on to do in the second part of the psalm from verse 7 onwards. It is reminding us of who this God is and how to respond to him. And I'm using the term ascribe. It is literally give, but in English perhaps to give to the Lord is falls short in some way. And ascribe perhaps gives a better indication of what is intended here. To ascribe something, it's not a very common word perhaps in normal language these days, but it simply means to state that such and such a quality belongs to so and so. We do use it in academic work or in school and so on. If you're writing an essay, if you're writing an assignment and you take a quotation from somebody else, another author, you need to ascribe where that quotation comes from. You're saying, it's his, it belongs to him. And that's what the psalm is saying, to give to the Lord. It's not that we have these things to give to him so much, it is that they belong to him. He has them, and it's for us to see that, to acknowledge it, and to make it known. If you were to say that Dan Carter is the best rugby player in the world, you're ascribing qualities to him, but it's his. You're not giving those qualities to him. Luciano Pavarotti, when he was alive, some said he was the greatest of the tenors. You're ascribing that to him. And so on. And the psalm does this three times again. And the repetition is something that is to call this really clearly to our attention. It's to set this in front of us. First the singing, then the giving or ascribing. We are to honour him for what is his. It comes from God's people first, those who recognise what he has done, who have known his salvation, who are addressed in the very first place of the psalm. But it also extends to all peoples. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples, the glory due his name. Tremble before him, all the earth, in verse 9. So yes, it is to begin with God's people, but not only there. as we read when we come to that place of that describes so well what Jesus has done, and the Spirit of our Lord Jesus in Philippians chapter 2, where it tells us of that course where he went to the great depths that he did, and God exalted him, and it tells us that every knee will bow before him, acknowledge him as Lord. Every tongue will confess him as Lord. Not one exception amongst all the peoples of this world. And yes, these were psalms that were written within the almost the cocoon, if you like, the protection of Israel for the time. But yet it was with a view to the earth altogether, because he is the God of the earth. And so we are to give these things, we are to ascribe to the Lord glory and strength, the glory due his name. It is thought by some that this might be understood in particular as the bringing of offerings. In some places, the giving of glory, the glory of a man, was in his wealth. And you can see that in a way. It's the way men do like to think. But we have a reinforcement of that possibility when in verse 8, the second line says, bring an offering and come into his courts. Give the glory due his name. And it does mean to return to him the things that belong to him. And that's consistent with right through Scripture, that these things are his, even our money. If you have no money, and as Paul says of the Macedonians, he says they gave themselves first. So give him the glory and the strength and the wonderful call to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. If only men would, and you and me, if we would spend a time to reflect on what holiness really is. It has a bad name in the world that we live in today. But that's not true. It's not the way it really is. Holiness is a beautiful thing. But all things are in harmony. They're in their perfection. But then the psalm goes on, as we're beginning it there at verse 9, and goes on to open this out a little as to where this comes from and what's signified by the glory and strength that belongs to the Lord. Say among the nations, in verse 10, what does this mean then? What does it mean to give the glory due to his name? What does it mean to give him glory and strength? Well, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is also firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. It recognizes, it does ascribe to the Lord what is true of him. It exposes it. It tells of these things. And these verses especially tell us of his reign in verse 10 and his return. Also in verse 10, the end of verse 10, but more particularly in verse 13, for he is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. The Lord's reign and the Lord's return will bring him glory. Do bring him glory. It's for us to testify to that glory, that we should see it, we should know it for sure, according to his own word. I find it very rebuking, really, when I see the insertion of verses 11 and 12. And it's not the only place. You find it frequently through Scripture, where we're told that the elements of nature, the heavens, the earth, the sea, the field, the trees of the woods, they rejoice at the prospect of his coming. In Romans chapter 8, Paul talks about creation groaning, longing for the redemption, the completion, the great redemption to come, when it will be free again. Creation is longing for that day. And when that day comes and he returns, it will be as though the heavens are in rejoicing. The earth will be glad. The sea will roar in joy. The field will be joyful. And the trees of the woods. And if they do it, oughtn't we to be doing it? When we see the truth of the matter, it's this Lord who saves, who delivers, who does wonderful things. He's the one who is our King. And He is the one who will come again. And it's given to us twice, which again is an emphasis we shouldn't ignore or we shouldn't be blind to. In verse 10, at the end, He shall judge the peoples righteously. In verse 13, He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with His truth. That could be a fearful thing. It is a fearful thing in some ways for everybody. But for many who know His salvation, it is a time for rejoicing. Because there are ways, many, many ways in our daily lives when it seems that those who are unrighteous are escaping with so much. But there's the assurance in this psalm that He will come, and He is coming to judge the earth. He's not insignificant when He comes again. And He will judge the world with righteousness. And Jesus Himself is one of the greatest expositors of this in the New Testament, where He speaks of Himself coming again, and He will come to judge all men. And that's a reason for us to be glad. It belongs with that new song in Revelation 14. It's a song that is new. It's a song that responds to His saving work. But it's there in Revelation. You see Him upon the throne. It's a reason to be glad for all who do trust in Him, that He will save. And for those who are saved, they'll be declared righteous before Him. It's all the more important then for those of us who are singers of this new song, that we do declare Him and the good news of His salvation. In verse 2, we declare Him to the nations, to the peoples. For how can we be glad? Some of you know it acutely. How can we be glad in this life, when there are others known to us who don't know His salvation and will be afraid at every thought of His coming? But if we declare that good news of His salvation, that they might be made ready as well for His coming. And that coming, this psalm, is found to be true all the more. The yes and the amen to every word of God that we read of in the New Testament, because Jesus has come. That coming at the final day, judging the world with righteousness, and the judgment has in effect begun already through the first coming of His Son. Will men receive Him? And it's there that we see too that this good news of His salvation, the saving work of our God, is great. And it's real. And just so far this evening to draw our attention to this wonderful psalm calling us to a right response to our great God, our Saviour, and His plan, His work amongst men. Let us pray together. Do grant, O Lord our God, that this, Your word, will remain in our hearts and minds, and that it will bring forth fruit to Your praise in our lives and through us. We pray that You would nourish us in faith and this certain hope that Your word gives us, with love to You and our neighbour. And even as You call us and set before us the path and the response, keep us in constant obedience, that we should declare Your glory to all. Work in us by Your Spirit that we'll be able to do so, and that we might walk with You in well-grounded assurance towards that fulfilling of your kingdom when we may live with you forever. And we pray this through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. We will be further reading and praying together, but let us take ourselves the remaining verses of that psalm, Psalm 96, again on page 127, but we'll take version A in the verses 7 through to 13. Psalm 96, version A, from verse 7 to the end of the psalm. All nations to the Lord ascribe the glory that is due. Glory and strength ascribe to God, and praise his name anew. Enter his courts with joy and bring an offering with you. Worship the Lord in holy fear. All earth before him bow. Let's sing from verse 7 through to the end of the psalm, standing to sing. And after that, take your seats again, please.
All nations to the Lord ascribe the glory that is due. Glory and strength ascribe to God, and praise his name anew. Enter his courts with joy, and bring an offering with you. Worship the Lord in holy fear, all earth before him bow. Tell every hand the Lord is King, his habit is the earth, and cannot move, the Lord will judge the peoples in his Let him rejoice and earth be glad with joy. Let ocean sing. The fields and all in them will shout, and forest trees will sing. They all will sing before the Lord who comes to judge the
seated. Let us take our New Testament reading in the Gospel according to Matthew. We have been reading here, and this evening we come to chapter 27 from verse 32. Matthew 27 at verse 32. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. When they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of a skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there. And they put up over his head the accusation written against him, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. for he said, I am the Son of God. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. We read just so far. Reminded of the Saviour who was born in order to die this death. And he didn't come down from the cross, although he is the Son of God. May he bless his word to us again as we read this evening. Let us again turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Through this, our Lord Jesus Christ, at such cost, gracious Heavenly Father, we speak thanks. It seems so small for what he has done, but we give thanks for the salvation that you have worked, that salvation in him. And thank you for the way of forgiveness that is open to us by him as he has given himself for us. There is so much we have to give thanks for, and these things above all. As you have taught us to pray for forgiveness and for the outworking of your will, we give thanks for every way in which you do this work within us and through us and around us. You teach us also to seek from you our daily needs, daily provisions, our daily bread. And you have provided, and we thank you for these things. We thank you, Lord, for the ways in which we do come by our daily bread for strength and skills and opportunities. But we pray that this will not just be for our daily bread, but also that in every way we would glorify you. And so we pray now that you would help us to serve you well, that truly your will be done in all that we are and all that we do. In our practical daily lives, we do pray that you will grant us health in body and mind at this time of year, that you would bless the time of holiday to our children, others who might be getting some holiday time as well. For any who continue at work, grant your strength and your encouragement. And for all travel that takes place at this time, grant safety, we pray. We ask that you would keep us in spirit, that we will be directed by your spirit, choosing well the steps that we do take in life, and that your grace might be at work through us, that we too might be gracious to all, that we would walk humbly, not only before our God, but before our fellow man, and that as you teach us, we will know and do what is love towards others, enabled by you first loving us. And may we go on in a continuing assurance of your presence, that it would be our delight to testify of Christ Jesus and the living hope that can only be found in him. As we think on Christ, we rejoice, O God, that not only has he given himself a sacrifice for us, but that he is ever making intercession for us, that he pleads for us, and we would pray for the needs of others too. We commend to you one another in this body of Christ Jesus, your church, in evidence in this group, in this room this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the news of a new baby in the De Jong family, and commend Kerry and the baby especially to you for health and well-being, and for every rejoicing that the family knows that these things would be turned to you, and thanks to your name. For our families further afield, we do pray for each one in the variety of their needs, where there are physical needs. We pray for many of us, for parents and their advancing years, and ask that you would uphold them in their needs. Where there are spiritual needs in particular, we ask that you would be at work and open hearts. Where there are open hearts and those who have received you but still perhaps struggling in spiritual things, that they might know your near presence and your comfort. And where there are so many who receive of your rich grace each day, the abundance for many, while there are also those who lack. But in every blessing of grace, that these things would not be just presumed on, but eyes would be turned to you, that there would be cause to consider their ways and be turned to give to you glory and strength as the one to whom they belong. We would pray especially for this coming week, where many will perhaps attend churches who don't otherwise through the year, and those words that might be spoken, that they would be true, and that those who hear will have hearing ears and be granted understanding hearts to a newness of mind and a newness of life. It's to you that we come, O Lord, when there is hardship, both in our own country and abroad. We ask that you would help any of us who prosper, that we would be ready to help ourselves. We pray for those who are beyond our reach, that there will be those near them who can help and provide. We pray especially in the winter time for the homeless and the lonely, for those who are sick, disabled, for the aged who are limited in their abilities, for some who might be abused. We seek your mercy through love being brought to them by those that you would raise up. And further afield, there might be those who are suffering in places and times of conflict or other hardship, perhaps because of disasters and climate and other circumstances. We pray especially where there is an opposition of men, a conflict of men, a thoughtlessness of men, where these things bring hardship upon others. We pray especially for South Sudan, which was known as the Christian South, and now is facing the possibilities of civil war, and there is certainly great tension. We ask, Lord, that you would prevail upon those who do lead in the various factions, that they might come to their senses soon, and that this would not be escalated. In the middle of all these things, O Lord, we pray especially for your church and the witness of your church. We ask that where your church does seem to prosper in the eyes of the world, and so often in our own eyes accordingly, that yet we would see with the eyes of faith, recognize what your work is, that where there is an apparent prospering, to walk humbly, to walk thankfully, and with strength to step forth to offer the gospel to the needy world around us. But where the church is suffering and discouraged, would you hold up weary hands, provide those who will do so, but draw near yourself and grant a sight of yourself to be strong through the difficult paths. And we do pray that you would support and strengthen us at this time too, every testimony to your saving work, for mission work in different places, for workers throughout the world who are called, and therefore woe to them if they do not preach and speak forth the gospel of Christ, that they will know your presence and your uplifting. And so, O Lord our God, we do pray for your continued mercies upon our country. Pray for the Queen on Wednesday as she addresses the nation and beyond. Pray for our government, her government, that to not be guided by the mere spirit of men, but to uphold truth and justice, to seek after the knowledge of God. And for all within this land to look for what is noble and just, pure and lovely, of good report, of virtue and praiseworthy, that your honour may be restored and prosper. And so, O Lord our God, God of hope, mercy, peace and comfort, would you draw near, hold us near and true to you, work your honour and praise in and through us. And all we pray is for the sake of our Lord Jesus, and only in his name. Amen. Let us take the psalm of thanksgiving in Psalm 75 to sing his thanks in these words. A psalm that testifies to the truth of how this world is in God's hands. We give you thanks, O God, because your name is near. And doesn't that remind us of the coming of God's kingdom, as Jesus preached that the kingdom is near to you? All speak of your majestic deeds. Your voice we also hear. We'll sing through to the end of the psalm, Psalm 75, the whole psalm together. We will stand, but again, would you take your seats after that, just for one or two further items. Let us sing together.
We give you thanks, O God, because your name is near. Oh, speak of your majestic deeds, your voice we also hear. I choose your appointed time.
Shortly be drawing this service to a close, and we enter into a new week today. Let us take God's own word as our direction for the life that is before us in these coming days. In the words of Paul to the Colossians, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let us pray. And at the close of this prayer, that we might join together in the words we know as the Lord's Prayer. O God, all holy desires, all wisdom, all good works come from you. And so it is that now we ask that you will give peace to us as your servants, that peace that this world cannot give. And do work that peace in us, that our hearts may be set to obey your word, and that in every condition of life we will be at rest and quietness of spirit in answer to and through the merits of Jesus Christ our Saviour. And with assurance before you in him, we pray according to the pattern that he has taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now in closing, let us join together in singing that great psalm of praise to our God, the call to the nations to sing to him, Psalm 100, the traditional first version. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Him serve with mirth, his praise forth tell. Come ye before him and rejoice. And we'll sing the whole of this psalm, Psalm 100, first traditional version, page 362. Again, standing to sing as we draw the service to a close, and after that, the benediction.
Oh, people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Him serve with mirth, his praise forth tell. Come ye before him and rejoice.
grant his blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.